It was the first time Kershaw's been taken out of a game in the middle of an inning this year. He gets a no decision, allowing just...
We cite statistics because we believe they have value, because we believe there's a correlation between the statistic and the physical act.
That's Brian Kenny of the MLB Network. He's the author of the forthcoming book, Ahead of the Curve, and he's attacking one particular statistical measure, the win, as it's credited to the pitcher. Pitchers who last five innings and leave with a lead get the win, as long as their team doesn't later relinquish that lead.
Starting pitchers who last less than five innings are out of luck in that regard, but relief pitchers who simply manage to be in the game when their teams take the lead may get credited with a win, as long as one of the other guys in the bullpen doesn't blow that lead later on, in which case that guy will get the win if his team goes out in front to stay.
Got it?
We think a win goes to the pitcher who pitches well or very well, and only occasionally has some hard luck and doesn't get the win. And I've actually studied this, and that's not the case.
With that contention, Brian Kenny and the analytics analyzers in his camp are trying to hashtag kill the win. Exhibit A, or at least exhibit recent for the prosecution, is what happened to Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw last weekend when he faced the Mets.
Well, Sunday Night Baseball, it's the national game on ESPN, and everybody's watching. He went seven-plus innings. I think he had 10 strikeouts, no walks. He'd given up one solo home run, so he has a 2-1 lead.
To make what Kenny considers an outrageous story short, after Kershaw left that game with a one-run lead, the Dodger pitcher who relieved him gave up that lead and then got credit for the win when the Dodgers scored later and won the game.
And it's not fair to Clayton Kershaw that in terms of the win-loss record at the end of the year, when we say he's 16-9, that Sunday night performance vanishes. It does not exist.
Perhaps the logic of Kenny's challenge is clear, but he and his like-minded colleagues are battling history. John Thorne, Major League Baseball's official historian, traces the tradition of crediting pitchers with wins back almost 130 years to the 1880s.
By this time, most Major League staffs consisted of at least two pitchers and in some cases three. So separating out the team victories by pitcher seemed a good thing to do. No one at this point was worried about a multiplicity of pitchers in a game and who do you give the victory to.
The man who introduced the idea that a pitcher should get credited with a team's win was Henry Chadwick. To the great dismay of those who still believe in the myth of Abner Doubleday, Chadwick is often called the father of the game.
Chadwick was a British-born sports writer, came to this country when he was 13, and had enormous influence on the game in trying to establish baseball as a model sport for America, akin to cricket in England. And he innovated the box score. Quantification was important to the evolution of baseball from a game played by boys to a game played by men and a game read about by men.
Chadwick's stats have mattered. Players and their agents have used wins, batting average, runs batted in, and so on to argue for raises. And the milestones associated with those statistics have mattered a great deal, especially to players approaching them. 300 wins by a starting pitcher makes an excellent argument for inclusion in the Hall of Fame. Among the 24 pitchers who've won that many games is Early Wynn, W-Y-N-N. He finished the 1962 season with 299 wins, which meant if he was going to get number 300, he would have to drag his 43-year-old body into a 23rd season.
The man suffered from gout, and he was 240 pounds. And it hurt him to put on his shoes. It hurt him to walk to the team bus.
That's George Vesey. He began his career as a sports writer in 1961. In 1963, he learned firsthand how important the accumulation of 300 wins was to Early Wynn. In the late spring of that year, the Cleveland Indians, apparently desperate for pitching, signed the old fellow. In July, still stuck on 299 wins, Wynn started a game against the then woeful Kansas City Athletics.
And he managed to hobble through five innings. He left with the lead, and they brought in a relief pitcher, Jerry Walker. And Jerry Walker held on, pitched the final four innings for the victory.
And that victory was credited to Early Wynn, since he'd gone the requisite five innings, however painfully, and left the game with the lead. So good on the old guy for hanging in there to win his 300th game, right? And what a great story, a story to be told by father as he and son gaze up at Early Wynn's plaque in the Baseball Hall of Fame. The kind of story that gives the national pastime meaning beyond cold numbers, right?
I guess so.
Again, Brian Kenny.
Or the other way of looking at it is maybe he could have retired with dignity. You know, maybe he didn't have to come back. Because, by the way, Early Win took a lot of grief about, oh, he's just hanging on for the record.
Hashtag kill the win proponent Brian Kenny believes that contemporary baseball fans will witness, if not the disappearance of the stat that meant so much to Early Win, at least its devaluation.
Maybe it's 5 years, maybe it's 10 years. It's already diminished to the point where it's not cited as a main statistic. And anybody knows that MLB Network, when they bring it up in my presence, they're going to get the look.
And what are they going to replace it with? Some kind of goofus statistic dreamt up by a 21-year-old with a slide rule? Please leave the game alone.
Wins by a pitcher still make sense to George Vesey, who is not excited by the revolution in baseball stats that threatens to relegate wins by a pitcher, not to mention batting average, to the dustbin of the game's history in favor of alternative measures, the abbreviations for which are XFIP, K/9, WHIP, and Sierra.
I see statistics thrown into stories that I don't even know what they mean. You know, it sounds like a designation for a submarine or a vitamin you're supposed to take. And I'm saying, what are they talking about?
Somewhere between the innovator who has no use for wins as the measure of a pitcher's worth and the veteran who wishes the innovator would go away stands the historian. John Thorne's not ready to erase from the box score the line that identifies each game's winning pitcher.
I don't think so. I think it's here forever, and I think it's like batting average. Everybody recognizes that batting average is not the best indicator of offensive ability, but it's traditional, and it does no harm. The only harm that's done is if you think that it is the gold standard and that you need to look at nothing else.
Hurrah for John Thorne's broad view. I think he's right. Baseball has endured the greed of itinerant owners and gamblers, lockouts, strikes, drug scandals, and commissioners asleep at the switch. The coming and going of stats probably won't lay a glove on the good old game, which is likely to lumber along as it has for about a century and a half, no matter how the next generation of 21-year-olds decides it should be quantified.